is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We've been talking to a number of the candidates for governor, and another interview today on Inside Douglas County. He's currently State Treasurer Tobias Reed, Democratic candidate for governor. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for the opportunity.
So overall, let's back up and assume folks maybe are not so familiar with you. Talk about your background prior to becoming State Treasurer.
Well, I had the good fortune of serving in the legislature for a number of years before that, representing Beaverton, and really found myself in the spot of focusing on economic development, infrastructure, revenue policy, and that sort of thing, which led me to the treasurer's office, where I really focused on the long-term financial health of the state and of Oregonians. We've been working hard to make sure that people have an opportunity to save their own money for retirement through our first in the country Oregon Saves plan. We've been trying to get more people from rural communities to take advantage of the Oregon College Savings Plan, which helps people prepare for education after high school, including community colleges and trade schools and apprenticeship programs, and really looking out for the long-run interests of Oregon. And I'm excited to be in this race and hopefully making the case for how we can take the lessons from the treasurer's office into the governor's office.
So before you ran for state treasurer, did you have a background in the financial sector then?
I did. I worked in the U.S. Treasury Department. I also worked at Nike, so I've got, I think, a nice mix of private sector and public sector experience, and really feel good about what we've been able to do as an investor for the state. I am the chief investment officer for the state. We manage the portfolio, which is a significant sum, and most importantly, I think, has long-run obligations for the state and for retirees, so we're really trying to make sure that we've constructed a portfolio that that can handle all the disruptions that we're likely to encounter over time.
I imagine that a lot of people really don't understand the job of state treasurer. Could you kind of boil it down a bit?
You bet. It is not, as sometimes is thought, anything that has to do with the state budget or tax collection. We are the bank for the state, for a lot of local governments as well. We invest those dollars that that fund the pension system, that are dollars that local governments use eventually. We manage the state's credit rating and issue the bonds that are used to finance infrastructure and other projects around the state. And we administer a number of financial empowerment programs like the retirement program, the college savings program I already mentioned. I'm also on the land board with the governor and the secretary of state. So it's a good way to think of it, I think, as being a financial hub for Oregon and for Oregonians.
Well, with the governor's term expiring next year, folks in both parties getting out there, a number of campaigns already going, probably others to come. What made you decide to seek the office of governor of Oregon?
I really think what we need in Oregon right now is strong and steady leadership that will allow us to move beyond this pandemic and start tackling the real challenges that face Oregon. But to do that, we've got to get everyone vaccinated. And I want to make sure that the way that is really personal for me comes across. We have two kids, one of whom is old enough to be vaccinated, but the other is not. And I really want to make sure that people are feeling safe, that we're able to keep schools open and allow businesses to safely reopen their stores and offices. And in the long run, I think we need to be in a place where we're not lurching from crisis to crisis. And I want to measure our progress as a state by how well our kids are doing. There are too many who are going to bed hungry and too many who are dropping out of school. And you can correct me if this is not the case in Douglas County, but my sense is that there are too many who have concluded that there aren't any opportunities for them to stay in the rural communities that have raised them. So I want to be focused on making sure that everybody has access to pre-kindergarten, to make apprenticeships and vocational training available for everybody, and making sure that we are creating jobs that allow us to resist climate change and deal with the risk of wildfire. And take that approach into the governor's office.
Looking at your website, it looked like the vaccination aspect of things was something kind of up to near the top of your list.
It is. I believe it is the barrier to us getting on the trajectory that I think everyone wants. It's preventing us from making the investments, from making the policy changes that will help us create the Oregon that we want. And again, I say this really personally because I see it in my own house. One of our two kids can get vaccinated. I just don't think it's okay for one person's version of freedom to endanger kids, mine or anyone else's.
And you mentioned education. I also noticed on your website a bit of wording about the idea of year-round school. Talk more about that. Haven't heard that one in a while.
Well, I think we can take some lessons from the experience many of us had in COVID and try to think about things differently as we move past the pandemic. We're likely to have some additional resources to be able to put into the schools, and I don't think we should be saddled with the idea of thinking we can only do things the same way. We have an opportunity to acknowledge how significant the needs are in schools and try to meet those in different ways. You know, we talked to one of the superintendents in Oregon who suggested that we should think about school starting in November, not because that's desirable, but because that's essentially the reality right now, because it takes that long for students and faculty to catch up to where they left off at the end of the previous year because of that summer gap. So I'm not suggesting that I know the exact answer right now, but I think we should definitely take a fresh look and look at ways that we can support teachers and meet the various needs of districts and students around the state by looking at things with a fresh eye.
Now, my understanding is sort of the traditional model of having 10, 12 weeks, whatever, off in the summer originally started because of the agricultural cycle in America going, you know, decades, if not farther back. And while other countries have shifted and gone to some kind of year-round model with breaks of 2 or 3 weeks several times during the year, seems like that always meets a lot of resistance in the U.S.
Well, I think the roots that you articulate are right. There are fewer of us who are involved in agriculture these days. And there's a lot of data to suggest that that students do better when they have shorter, more frequent breaks. So I think there's reason to look at it afresh. All of us, I think, have some level of anxiety or discomfort when we think about something that we're used to changing. But everyone has interest in making sure that our kids get the best experience they possibly can. So I think that's a good conversation for us to have.
And compared to other states right now, Oregon is on the shorter side in the length of instructional days in a current school year.
There is nothing better than investing in kids, and we should look closely at every opportunity we have to do that to make sure that kids are up to their are having the chance to live up to their full potential.
Now, you mentioned natural resources on your website as well, and you mentioned that earlier in the interview. What are your thoughts? What should the priorities be in how we manage Oregon's natural resources?
Well, I had the chance to serve as co-chair of the Governor's Wildfire Economic Recovery Council, and I can tell you from the conversations we had there and the visits that I've made to some of the fires around Oregon, there's not much more disappointing than watching the destruction and the lost opportunities that exist as a result of those fires. I think it's emblematic of the way we have approached these questions, and we could be a lot more aggressive, a lot more on the offense to make sure that we're reducing the risk of wildfires and other natural resource situations and creating jobs by taking those offensive steps. When we think about the ways to do prescribed burning, to do more aggressive and appropriate thinning operations, these are things that can have both short-term and long-term implications and benefits.
And it seems like, especially in our case with the Archie Creek fire east of Roseburg, you had a situation there where you had debris from other wildfires that had essentially never been cleaned up, which just added fuel to that fire.
Yeah, these things are cumulative. They build up. And if we can agree on nothing else, I think it's really clear that the era of predictable, manageable fires in a confined kind of wildfire season is probably behind us. I was talking with someone yesterday about the way we structure the finance of major fires in Oregon and how that needs to change going forward as well. So, yeah, if we're not on top of it, if we're not making progress on it, just like issues of housing, these things can accumulate, and we shouldn't be satisfied with that.
More with candidate for governor Tobias Reid, current state treasurer, when we get back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246. This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, it's Umpqua Valley Live on KQEN Local Talk at 4, a weekly look at arts, entertainment, and community activities. Neil Gregory Johnson doing some live music, and we've got some other topics as well as we focus on the arts at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Monday on this program, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer looking at the COVID-19 situation in the area and beyond. State Treasurer Tobias Reid, Democratic candidate for governor, with us this afternoon, going through a number of issues. What are some of the other big issues you think are facing Oregon right now?
Well, I think it's really hard to get past the COVID pandemic. If anyone is talking about other things, I think the pandemic continues to be a barrier to making progress on those things. So when you think about how that impacts everything, parents are uncertain, worried about what schools are confronting and having to deal with. Business owners, I think, are dealing with the restrictions and the requirements and not able, as all of us would like, to be able to safely welcome their employees, their customers back. So I think all of us have to be focused on that, to do everything we possibly can to make sure that people are getting vaccinated. I take people's concerns seriously. I think they should talk to their healthcare providers, people they trust, and then we got to do everything we can to make sure that they're vaccinated. That allows us then to make progress on the other things we care about. And for me, it's, again, really simple. I want to measure us and how we're doing based on how well our kids are doing.
And during the past 18 months, small businesses in particular have been hit hard with those restrictions and how to deal with them, and also with the issue of some people not being sure they want to be working in some environments right now. It's been a big struggle for the business community. What should the role in state government be moving forward to help small business in particular?
First thing I think is to recognize how important, how central that is to our economy, that we are all connected in this way. A success in Douglas County is no less important to people in Multnomah County than the reverse is true. We have to be really clear about that. And I think state government obviously has to take its role in public safety seriously, but to the extent we can, to be taking a customer service orientation matters a lot as well. Our success is a function of economic activity, and we should be doing everything we can to facilitate the opportunity for business people to be getting ahead, to be growing their businesses, to be solving problems and meeting needs of communities. I think there are times when, for the interest of public health, we have to do things that are not in the interest, in the short-term interest of business success, but we have to be clear about that when we can, and just predictable and steady in making those changes and those calls, as unpleasant and as difficult as they are. We can go a long way when we're clear and predictable and steady for business people and Oregonians.
If you were elected governor, what would be your style or your tone in terms of how you would work with the Oregon State Legislature?
Well, I had the good fortune of serving in the legislature for a number of years, so I have, I think, a good understanding of how it works and a lot of the personalities who are there that I've worked with as I've been treasurer. And I feel really strongly that What matters most is showing up and is listening and is meeting your commitments, keeping your word. That's something I feel, I feel like I have a good reputation for. And I enjoy working with people who are from different parts of the state with different backgrounds and different perspectives. We need that in our process to have a robust, vibrant opposition. Whichever party, whichever person happens to hold office needs to hear from people about the varied needs of communities across the state. And so if I'm lucky enough to be in that role, I would relish the opportunity to spend time around the state to come to a deeper first person kind of understanding of the needs that are represented by people in the legislature. And while I was there, I was really proud of a lot of things we were able to do by putting together combinations of unexpected allies to do things that challenged the status quo and that continued to move forward. Again, the best investment is in thinking about kids. And that's something that I would love to do with the future legislature.
And let's talk state budget priorities. Where should the money go?
The money should go to things that improve the quality of life for kids. And you can think about that in terms of health. You can think about that in terms of educational opportunities and achievements. You can think about economic prospects. All of these things contribute to an economy and a state that I think all of us want to live in. But, you know, I think it's important for us to construct that way of thinking about things that everyone can add on to. We're all former kids, and all of us probably have kids in our lives that we care about. And that can be a place that everyone, I think, can get excited about and can understand. In the long run, the things that create a growing economy, which allow us to do the other things we want to do, are all about education. They're about innovation. And they're about infrastructure. And I think that's a place that is really important, as well as maintenance of things that allow those things to occur.
Now, as state treasurer, of course, you're around a lot of the financial aspects of the state. Looking forward to serving as governor, what would your thoughts be about the public employees' retirement system, the shape it's in, any adjustments that should be made?
Well, that's a good question. We, as in the treasurer's office, our job is investing those funds and making sure that we're creating as much return as possible. So the reality is, I think if there were an easy solution that eliminated our challenges there, we would have done that. I think what we're really talking about with respect to the retirement, there's two things to keep in mind. One, it's a contract that has been made, and it has an impact in the economy. The majority of people who are retirees have a very modest benefit, and they're using those dollars to buy groceries and pay the electric bill. And so the dollars that circulate through the economy have a very real impact on the economy. But what I think looking forward is important to remember is that the conversation focuses on retirement, but what it really represents to me is a question about the expense of hiring a public servant, whether that's a teacher, a firefighter, or something else. And we have focused a lot of our attention on the piece of that equation that probably has the least flexibility. If you consider salary, retirement, and healthcare as the three major components, we focused lots of conversation on the retirement aspect, where courts have been really clear about the limitations on what we can do. On the other hand, I think there's a lot more flexibility to talk about what we can do with respect to healthcare, and that has more flexibility. So if we're trying to reduce the cost and free up dollars to invest in education and other things we care about, that might be a much more productive part of the conversation.
Under the Biden administration, we're hearing a lot about infrastructure, and Congressman DeFazio has certainly been involved working with that as well. When you look around Oregon from money that would come from state funds or maybe a push to help get some help from Washington, D.C., what kinds of infrastructure improvements do you think Oregon needs?
Well, as treasurer, I chair the State Debt Policy Advisory Commission, which advises the legislature on what's prudent levels of indebtedness. In other words, how much can we issue in bonds? And this is an unusual circumstance. The need is pretty significant, and the interest rates are pretty low. What that combines to create, I think, is a place where we could be using that capacity. But I've also been clear with the legislature in saying that it's not for everything. Using this bonding capacity, in my opinion, should be focused on physical infrastructure, the roads, dams, bridges, schools that you can touch and feel, in places that will benefit a lot of people and will have very long, useful lives. We should do this in a way that addresses the short-term needs, that improves our resilience, reduces our vulnerability, creates jobs, by the way, and in the long run, increases the productive capacity of the economy. So it's an important tool. We should use it carefully, but we shouldn't miss the chance to make things better now and into the future.
About 30 seconds left on Inside Douglas County. A lot of folks in both parties running for governor. Why do you think you stand out?
I think what we need in Oregon right now is steady leadership to keep us from the track record we've established of late, which feels like lurching from crisis to crisis, so we can articulate the vision for what we want Oregon to be in the next generation. And for me, it's really simple. We have to measure our progress based on how our kids are doing. I think I'm well suited to do that, and I look forward to having that conversation with people.
State Treasurer and Democratic candidate for Governor Tobias Reid, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for the opportunity. Great to talk to you.
1257 Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.